Shri Krishna Arjuna ki jai, Shri Bhagavad Gita Upanishad ki jai. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tonight we're going to read chapter 2 of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Please, everyone, get a copy of the Gita. I've printed out all of the study guides for this week already. But this week there's 3 verses to learn. As I'm going through the 30 most important verses according to Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, and in chapter 2, 3 verses are prominent there. And we can get to that later. But as last week, we'll chant the shlokas first. First I'll chant, and then we'll both chant together, one by one. So this is chapter 2, Sankhya Yoga, the constitution of the soul, or is also known as contents of the Gita summarized. But more commonly known as Sankhya Yoga, or the constitution of the soul. Are we ready?
Yes.
Sanjaya uvacha tam tata kripaya vishtam ashrupuna kulekshanam visadantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. Now together. Sanjaya uvacha tam tata kripaya vishtam ashrupuna kulekshanam visidatam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudana. Sanjaya said, the Supreme Lord Madhusudan then spoke to the saddened Arjun, whose heart was filled with pity, his eyes brimming with tears. Sri Bhagavan uvacha kutastva kasmalamidam vishame samupastitam anarjajustam ashvargyam arkiti karamarjuna. Sri Bhagavan uvacha kutastva kasmalam idam vishame samupastitam anarjajustam ashvargyam akirti karamarjuna. The Supreme Lord said, O Arjuna, how has such illusion overcome you at this crucial moment? This does not befit an Aryan, and it leads not to heaven, but to infamy. Klaibhyamma smagama parta naitat tvai upapadyate kudram ridaya durbalyam jaktotista parantapa. Klaibhyamma smagama parta naitat tvai upapadyate kudram ridaya durbalam jaktotista parantapa. O son of Kunti, give up this cowardice, for it does not befit you. O great hero, cast off this petty weakness of heart and arise for battle. Arjuna uvacha katam bhishmam aham sankhe dronacha madhusudana ishubhi pratijyotshami purjav arishuddana. Arjuna uvacha katam bhishma maham sankhe drona cha madhusudana ishubhi pratiyochami pujaha varishudana. Arjuna said, O Madhusudan, slayer of the enemy, how can I counterattack shooting arrows at venerable Bhishma and my teacher Drona, who are worthy of my worship? Gurun ahattahi mahan mahanubhavam shreyoboktam baksham apihaloke advartakamam stu gurum ihaiva bunjiya bogan ruddira pradigdan. Gurun ahattahi mahanubhavam shreyoboktam baksham apihaloke advartakamam stu gurun ihaiva Bunjiya bhogam rudira pradigdahan. It is better to live in this world and beg without taking the lives of our noble elders and teachers. Otherwise, by killing them, we shall remain in this world only to enjoy their wealth and possessions, tainted with their blood. Na chaitad vidmaha kataran no garyo yava jayema yadiva no jayoho yanneva hatta na jijivya sangas te vashtita pramuke dhritarashtraha. Na chaitad vidmakataran no garyo yava jayema yadiva no jayema Yane mahatam yajigarvishamas tavishtiti ramuke dhritarashtra. I cannot understand which will be better, victory or defeat. For if we kill the sons of Dhritarashtra, who now stand before us on the battlefront, we shall not wish to live. Karpanya doshopahata swabhava. Prichami tvam dharma samudha cheta yachtre ashan nischitam bruhi tanme shishyasteham sadimam tvam prapanam karpanya doshu pahata swabhava prichami tvam dharma samudha cheta yachtre ashan nischitam bruhi tanme Shishyateham sadimam tvam prapanam. Now I am bewildered. What is my real duty? I am losing heart and distraught. So please tell me clearly, what is the best course of action to take? I am your surrendered disciple. Please instruct me. Nahi prapashyami mama punyadyad yachchoktam uchoshanam indriyanam avyapabhuvham asapatnam ridham rajam suranam apichadi patyam nahi prapashyami mama panudyad yachchokam uchoshanam indriyanam avapyum bhumavasapatnam ridham rajam suranam apichadi patyam. Even if we gain an unrivaled flourishing kingdom on earth and sovereignty over heaven, I see nothing to dispel my debilitating grief. Sanjaya uvacha eva mukva rishikesham godakesha panantapa nayochiti govindam uktva tusnim babuvaha. Sanjaya uvacha eva mukva rishikesham godakesha panantapa Najochiti Govindam Uktva Tusinam Babuvaha. Sanjaya said, thus the valiant, vigilant Arjun spoke to Krishna, who is Rishikesh, the lord of the senses of all beings. Then he declared, Govinda, I will not fight. And he fell silent. Tamuvacha Rishikesha Prahasanam Iva Bharata Senayorubaya madye vishidanta midambacha Tvamubacha rishikesha prahasani vabharata Senayorubaya madye vishidanta midambacha. O Bharat, there amidst the armies, Sri Rishikesh, smiling, spoke thus to the grief-stricken Arjuna. Sri Bhagavanuvacha Asochan anvoshochas tvam pragyavadam cha bashase gata sunnagata sungscha nanusochanti pandita. Asri Bhagavan uvacha asochan anvoshochas tvam pragyavadam cha bashase gata sunnagata sungscha nanusochanti pandita. The Lord said, O Arjun, you are lamenting for that which is unworthy of grief, yet speaking words of wisdom. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Nateva ham jato nasam natvam neme janadipa Nachaiva nabhavishyama sarve vayam mataparam. Natevaham jato nasham. Natvam neme janadipa. Nachaiva nabhavishyama sarve vayam mataparam. Never was there a time when you, I, or all these kings did not exist. Just as we exist in the present, so have we existed in the past, and shall continue to exist in the future. Dehe nosmin jata dehe, komaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, diras tatra namuyati. Dehe nosmin jata dehe, komaram yovanam jara, tata dehantara praptir, diras tatra namuyati. As the living being passes through the bodily changes of childhood, youth, and old age, it similarly attains another body at death. The wise are not deluded by this. Matrasparchas tukunteya shitoshna sugadugada agama paino nityas tamtitikshashabharata. Matrasparchas tukunteya shitoshna sugadugadaha agama paino nityas tam titikshashvabharata. O son of Kunti, the engagement of the senses with their objects produces the sensations of cold, heat, pleasure and pain. But these effects are temporary, they come and go. Therefore, O Bharat, you must endure them. Yamhina vyatyantya ete purusham purushashabha samaduka shukam diram samritvaya kalpate. Yamhina vyatayankete purusham purushashabha samaduka shukam diram samritvaya kalpate. O noblest of men, the wise man who is equiposed in pleasure and pain and undisturbed by sense experiences is alone qualified for immortality. Nasato vidyate bhavo nabhavo vidyate sata ubayor api drishtantastva anayos tatva darshibhi. Nasato vidyate bhavo nabhavo vidyate sata ubayor api drishtantastva anayos tatva darshibhi. Of the asat, destructible objects such as the mutable body and associated phenomena, there is no eternal existence. Of the sat, the eternal object, the soul, there is no destruction or change. The nature of each has been realized by the seers of the truth. Avinasi tutad vidhi yena sarvam idam tatam vinasham avyayashyasya nakaschit kartamarhati avinasasitu tadvidhi yena sarvam idam tatam vinasam avyayashyasya nakaschit kartamarhati. Know that the soul, by which the entire body is pervaded, is indestructible. No one can destroy the imperishable soul. Antavanta ime deha nitya shokta sharirina anasino prameyasya tasmad yudashva bharata. Antavanta ime deha nitya shokta sharirina anasino prameyasya tasmad yudashva bharata. The soul is said to be eternal, indestructible and immeasurable. Only these physical bodies are subject to destruction. Therefore, fight, O Bharat. Ya inam veti hantaram, yaschainam manyate hatam, ubhoto na vijanito, nayam hanti na hanyate. Yo inam veti hantaram, yaschainam manyate hatam, ubhoto na vijanito, nayam hanti nahanyate. Those who think the living being slays, and those who think it is slain, are ignorant of the true nature of the soul, for the soul neither slays nor is slain. Na jayate mriyate vakadachin nayan bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamani sharire na jayate mriyate vakadachin nayan bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha ajo nitya shashvato yam purano na hanyate hanyamani sharire. The soul is neither born nor dies. It has neither been nor will it be created, because it is unborn and eternal. It is ever youthful, yet ancient. It is not destroyed when the body is destroyed. Vedavinasinam nityam ye inam angyam avvayam katam sapurusho partha kam gatayati hantikam. Vedavinasinam nityam yainam ijam avayam katam sa purusho partha kamvayatati hantikam. O Partha, knowing the soul to be indestructible, eternal, birthless, and immutable, how can a person kill or cause anyone to be killed? Vasansi jinani jata vihoya navani grinati naro parani tata sharirani vihaya jirnanya anyani samjati navani dehi vamsansi jinani yata vihaya navani grinati naro parani tata sharirani vihaya jirnanya anyani samjati navani dehi. A person adopts new garments, discarding those that are old and worn. Similarly, the soul continues to adopt new bodies, leaving those that are old and useless. Nainam chidanti shastani, nainam dehati pavaka, na chainam kledeyanchapo, na shoshayati maruta. Nainam chidanti shastrani, nainam dehati pavaka, na chainam kledeyanchapo, na shoshayati maruta. Weapons cannot pierce the soul, and fire cannot burn it. Water cannot wet it, and air cannot dry it. Achedyo yamadhayo yamakledyo shosha evacha nitya sarvagata stanur achalo yam sanatana. Achedyo yamadhayo yamakledyo shosha evacha nitya sarva gata stanur achalo yam sanatanam avyakto yam achinto yam avikarjo yam uchate tasmadevam viditvainam nanu sochitam arhasi avyakto yam achinto yam avikarjo yam uchate tasmadevam viditvainam anucho samanyaharahasi. It is said that the soul is indivisible and cannot be burned, moistened, or dried. It is eternal. It reaches all planes, yet remains still, immovable and ever-present. It is imperceptible, inconceivable, and untransformable by the sixfold transformations, which are birth, existence, growth, maturity, diminution, and destruction. Therefore, knowing the nature of the soul as such, there is no reason to lament for it. Ata chainam nitya jatam nityam va manyase mritam tata pitvam mahabaho nainam sochitam arhasi. Ata chainam nitya jatam nitya va manyase mritam tata pitvam mahabaho nainam sochitam arhasi. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityo dhruvam janma mritasya cha tasmadapi haryete natvam sochitam arhasi. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityo dhruvam janma mritasya cha tasmadapi haryete natvam sochitam arhasi. O best of warriors, even if you think that the soul is perpetually subject to birth and death, you still have no reason to lament. For one who is born, death is certain. And for one who dies, he must be reborn to undergo the reactions of his past actions. Therefore, you should not lament over the inevitable. Avyaktadi bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidananyeva tatraka paridevana avyakta dini bhutani vyakta madhyani bharata avyakta nidananyeva tatra kapari devata. O Bharat, when all living beings are unmanifest before birth, manifest between birth and death, and again unmanifest at death, why lament for them? Ascharjavat pasyati kaschidenam, ascharjavat vadati tataiva chanyaha, ascharjavat chainam anya srinoti, srutvapyanad vedana cha eva cheva kaschid. Ascharjavat paschati kaschidenam, ascharjavat vadati tataiva chamyaha, ascharjavat chainam manya srinoti, srutvapyanam veda nachaiva kaschid. Some see the soul as astonishing, some describe it as astonishing, some hear of it as astonishing, while others, though hearing about it, know nothing of it. Dehi nityam adyoyam deha sarvasya bharata tasmat sarvani bhutani natvam sochitam arhasi. Dehi nityam advayoyam deha sarvasya bharata tasmat sarvani bhutani natvam sochitam arhasi. O Bharat, the soul dwelling within the bodies of all living beings is eternal and cannot be slain. Therefore, you need lament for no one. Svadharmam api chavekshana vikampitum arhasi dharmyadi yudyachtreno nyat katriyasya na vidyate. Svadharmam api chevakshyam na vibhuktanam arhasi dharmyadi yujyat streonyat katriyayasya na vidyate. Moreover, considering your natural duty, you have no reason to waver, since there is no action more auspicious for a warrior than a battle for justice. Yadrichchaya chopapanam swargadvaram apavritam sukhina katriya parta labante yudamidrisham. Yadrichchaya chopapanam swargadvaram apavritam sukhina katriya parta labante yudamidrisham. O Partha, only the most fortunate warriors are blessed with the opportunity of such a battle, which has come to you like an open door to heaven. And then there's a commentary by our Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev, Goswami Maharaj. He says, one's natural duty or swadharma is of two types, relative or absolute. According to the soul's state of either material bondage or liberation, respectively, in the liberated state, the natural function of the soul is purely spiritual devotional service for the transcendental pleasure of the Supreme Lord alone. But in the state of material bondage, a person's natural duty possesses mundane attributes. The conditioned soul accepts various births throughout the 8,400,000 species of life according to his actions, until, by the influence of piety, he obtains a human birth. Then, according to his nature, he may adopt a position and prescribe duty in the God-centered socio-religious system, Daiva Varnashram, which helps one attain the natural duty of the liberated state. In this respect, the natural duty of the liberated soul is somewhat covered by the relativity of the material world, yet, within the God-centered socio-religious system, it is nonetheless considered a person's natural duty As for example, smoke-covered fire is still considered fire, despite its covering. So that means, according to our what Guru Maharaj has described as acquired conditioning and prejudice from this material world, we have a particular nature. So according to Varnashram Dharma, broadly that falls into four categories. Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Brahmin means the intellectual class, priests, teachers, scholars, doctors, and so on. And Kshatriya means warrior class. Warriors, administrators, and so on. Administrator, someone who administers them, like a clerk. Vaishya means businessman, like those who have the nature for money, and also farming. These are both the activities of the Vaishya. And Shudra means laboring class. So that is called one's varna, one's nature. But that has become perverted as the caste system. So according to the caste system, your social status is determined according to your birth. If your father is a Brahmin, you're a Brahmin. If your father is a Kshatriya, you're a Kshatriya, and so on. But this is actually a perversion of Varnashram. In previous ages, it would be so. It would be so that a Brahmin would only have a Brahmin as their son, and a Kshatriya only a Kshatriya as their son. But in Kali Yuga, everything is upside down. But we can still see that people have a particular nature inborn within them. Some people are prone to thinking, some people are prone to fighting, some people are prone to making money, and so on. And so according to that, but it is not the same as the caste system. And the caste system is a perversion of the Varnashram system, and mainly used for people in privilege to maintain their position. But Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Dev, he did not admit casteism and mixing of different varnas. He considered that if one is a Vaishnava, they are above Varnashram. They are above any consideration. And that is why in India, as though many of you will know, that he was hated by many of the Brahmin class particularly, because he was considered to have caused like a social disorder. We know that in previous times, a Brahmin would never eat with anybody else except a Brahmin, and would only accept food cooked by and prepared by another Brahmin. And there was no mixing of the castes previously. But in Vaishnavism, when in the society of pure devotees, there is no such consideration. No consideration of birth, no consideration of social position or anything like that. In Vaishnavism, according to Mahaprabhu, who knows the science of Krishna, they are fit to teach Krishna consciousness to anyone. And even our Guru Maharaj, he said, because he is from a high Brahmin family, he is Bhattacharya Brahmin. And he said, when I first came to, and I met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, I can understand he is a great saint and sadhu. But I'm thinking, I cannot take initiation from him because his caste is Kayasta, and my caste is Brahmin. So I cannot accept him as my guru. This is his initial thinking. He said, but after I understood more the universality of Mahaprabhu's religion, then that left that conception. So it is necessary for us to progress in spiritual life. It is necessary for us to go beyond our social conditioning, whatever that may be. These things are more prevalent in India, but every society has its own kind of caste system, class system or whatever you want to call it.
Even here as well.
Everywhere, yes.
As well.
Of course. In England, there used to be, it was called the feudal system. And that was how, and even today you have, you know, upper class, middle class, working class. And, you know, although those divisions have been blurred, still there are those who want to maintain such artificial distinctions in, well, so in society.
Was being in Vrindavan, and he took the food with lower class, and it was criticized by the Brahmin caste. Why Mahaprabhu
yes.
would take the food with that lower caste people?
Yes, it is true. And we saw, we did not see ourselves, but we heard from Srila Govinda Maharaj, our Gurudev, Srila Sridhar Maharaj, when he was in Vrindavan, and he was invited to the house of a cowherd man in Vrindavan. And when he went there, Guru Maharaj is very, you can say, to some degree, attached to his Brahmanism, you can say. It is true, and he showed that. But when he was in Vrindavan, and the house of the cowherd man, and that is called, considered as Vaishya, cowherding is Vaishya, and Krishna is also a cowherd boy. But when he was there, then that cowherd man, he told his daughter, little girl, like this little girl, he told, bring some mishti for Sridhar Maharaj. And so she went to the kitchen and she bought a plate with milk sweets. And she's coming to across the courtyard, Guru Maharaj sitting in the courtyard, in the chair in the courtyard. She's coming across the courtyard. Halfway across the courtyard, she squatted down and took a pee, still holding the sweets in her hand. So then, and without washing or anything, she bought the sweets, and Guru Maharaj happily took those sweets without a second thought. And Srila Govinda Maharaj, he was there then, and he said, Guru Maharaj took, but I could not take. He said, then he said, but then I understood, Guru Maharaj is cowherd boy in Vrindavan, or cowherd girl. Actually, he said she is cowherd girl. And he said, I am not cowherd girl, maybe I am son of a cowherd girl. But Guru Maharaj cowherd girl. Anyway, so, according to our nature, we have a particular dharma in this world. And that is called Swadharma. So according to that, then what Krishna is telling to Arjuna here, your Swadharma is that of a warrior, a Kshatriya. So you should do your duty and fight. Then that is your duty, and if it is for a righteous cause, then there is no shame or wrong or sin or anything in that. It is your proper activity. But this does not relate to our eternal dharma, the eternal dharma of the soul. That is different to our swadharma, and when one is free from the conditioning of this material world, then he is free to act on that platform. But until then, we all have some duty according to our varna and also our ashram. Our ashram will be brahmachari, generally, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. These are the four ashrams, four varnas and four ashrams. But again, in Kali Yuga, everyone is everywhere. 1 minute, then they're
all mixed
up. Yeah. 1 minute this ashram, next minute another ashram. Then, but that is not important either. Even those who are outside of Varnashram, if they are devoted to Krishna, then no problem. Whatever their social position may be, it is not a problem. And we find so many things in the Kali Yuga. So many things, and especially outside of India, and even inside India, there are so many variations now that those things more or less almost don't exist anymore.
Not necessarily, even today, can marry.
Yeah, but it is not. But it is not. It is not necessary for advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, that's enough.
So then, anyhow, this is. But Daiva Varnashram is meant to help us. in our progressive spiritual life. It is not that we brush it aside as nothing. It has been ordained by the Lord. So those who are able to follow that perfectly, that is very helpful for the advancement in spiritual life. But it is not the be-all and end-all. Who is devoted to Krishna, whether they are follow Varnashram perfectly or not at all. If they are really devoted to Krishna, that is the first class map. Okay, then we will continue. Ata chetvam imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi tata svadharmam kirtincha hitva papam apashyasi. Ata chetvam imam dharmyam sangramam na karishyasi tata svadharmam kirtincha hitva papam avyapyasi. But if you choose not to fight this battle for justice, your religious principles will be lost, fame will desert you, and sin will overcome you. Akirtin chapi bhutani kartayishyanti te vyayam sam bhavityasya chakitir maranad aritrichyate. Akirtin chapi bhutani kataya shanti te vayam sambhavatasya chakritir maranad arichichate. People will speak of your infamy for all time to come, and for the renowned, infamy is worse than death. Jai. Bayadrana baparatam mam shante tvam maharata ye sancha tvam baho mato bhutva yashasi laghavam bayadranaduparatam mam shante tvam maharata ye sancha tvam baho mato bhutva yashasi laghavam. The great warriors who highly honor you will ridicule you, considering that you were afraid to fight. Avachcha vadamscha bahun vadishyanti tavahita nindantas tvam samartyan tato dukataram nukim. Avachcha vadamscha bahun vidashyanti tavahita nindanastava samartyam tato dukataram nukim. Your enemies will mock you. What could be more painful? Hatova prapsyasi swargam jitvava bhogshase mahim tasmad utishta kunteya yudaya kritanishchaya. Hatova prapasyasi swargam jitvave bhokshase mahim tasmad utishta kunteya yudaya kritanishchaya. O son of Kunti, if you are killed, you will attain heaven, and if you are victorious, you will enjoy your life on earth. Therefore, being confident of your success, arise for battle. Sukaduke same kritva labbalabho jaya jayo tato yudhaya yudjasva naivam papam avapyasi. Sukaduke same kritva labbalabho jaya jayo tato yudhaya yudjasva naivam papam avapyasi. Considering pleasure and pain, gain and loss, and victory and defeat to be one and the same, fight. No sin will be incurred by you. Eshate bihita sankhe buddhir yoge twami imam srinu buddhya yukto yaya parata karma bandham prahashyasi. Eshate bihita sankhe buddhir yoge twami imam srinu buddhya yukto yaya parata karma bandham prahayasyasi. I have revealed to you this knowledge, buddhi, of the soul. Now hear from me how to act in this knowledge, bhakti yoga, through which you will be able to free yourself from the bondage of action. This is Guru Maharaj's commentary, or rather this is the commentary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, quoted by Guru Maharaj. It will be revealed that buddhi yoga, the yoga of wisdom, is a singular path. When buddhi yoga is seen to be limited by the ideal of action, it is known as karma yoga. When it extends beyond action up to the peak of knowledge, it is known as jnana yoga or sankhya yoga. And when transcending the limitations of both action and knowledge, it touches bhakti or devotion, it is then known as bhakti yoga or perfectly pure and complete buddhi yoga. And that is the quote from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Neha bhikama nashosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. Nahe bhikama nashosti pratyavayo navidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bayat. On this path there can be no loss and no harm. The slightest practice of such a spiritual ideal saves one from the greatest fear. And this is a very important verse and very important commentary which Guru Maharaj has given. Mahabai, the greatest fear, is generally considered to be the fear of repeated birth and death in this world. But Mahabai also refers to Sayuja Mukti, the liberation of merging into the impersonal, non-differentiated consciousness of Brahmaloka, Biraja, or a kind of impersonal samadhi. Renunciation alone leads to Sayuja Mukti, the cessation of birth and death, but not to a life in the positive plane. It takes one to a permanent burial in Brahmaloka. The demon of Mukti will devour one wholesale, and therefore it is even more dangerous than this ordinary life of action and reaction. Mukti means a strike in the organic system, so it must be avoided. For example, to either ignore duties in the factory or to declare a strike by cessation of duties are both abnormal. Bhukti, exploitation, and mukti, renunciation, are both fearsome ghosts. Therefore, here, Mahabai means the great apprehension of falling prey to both the ghost of exploitation, leading to birth and death, as well as the ghost of committing suicide by merging into the impersonalism of incarceration in Brahmaloka. Fear of both Bhogabhumi, the land of exploitation, and Tyagabhumi, the plane of renunciation. It is stated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhukti Mukti Spriha Javat, Pisachi Riddhi Vartate, Tavad Bhakti Shukashyastra Katam Abhyodayo Bhavet. The ecstasy of devotion to Krishna will never appear in a heart that is haunted by the ghosts of exploitation and renunciation. Anya Bilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadya Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Uttama. The highest devotion is that which is cultivated for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord Krishna, with no desire except to serve Him, and divested of all external attempts such as worldly action, knowledge in search of the impersonal absolute, or the meditational attempt to become one with God. Only the Supreme Lord is abhai, beyond apprehension. Therefore, nothing but participation in His service can free one from the ghosts of exploitation and renunciation, bhukti and mukti. If we subtract bhukti and mukti, then only positive bhakti, devotion, is the remainder. Therefore, without devotion, everything is mahabai, or great danger. Vyavasyatmiki mika buddhir ekeha kurunandana Bahushaka yanantascha buddhaya vyavashayinam. Vyavashayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka yuyantascha buddhayo vyavashayinam. O descendant of the Kuru dynasty, resolute intelligence dedicated to me is one-pointed. I am its only objective. But irresolute intelligence is splayed by endless desires for mundane enjoyment. Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadyanti avipaschita vedavadarata parta nanyad ashtiti vadhinha. Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschita vedavadarata parta nanyadastitivadina. O Partha, unwise persons, not knowing that the chief directive of the Vedas is the attainment of the supreme truth, are fond of interpreting the fleeting, enchanting words of the Karmakanda section of the Vedas as ultimate. Kamatmana swarga parha janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogyashvarjagatim prati. Kamatmana swarga paraha janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam bhogyashvarjagatim prati. Their hearts are filled with desires and their goal is heaven. They advocate the many sacrifices and rituals that yield wealth, worldly pleasures and high birth. Bhogaishvarja prasaktanam jaya parita chetasam vyavashyatmiki mika buddhi samadhona vidhiyate. Bhogaishvarja prasaktanam jaya parita chetasam vyavashyatmika buddhi samadhona vidhiyate. Thus attached to enjoyment and opulence, deluded by the flowery words of the Vedas, they do not attain the resolve to dedicate themselves to the Supreme Lord. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtrigunya Bhavarjuna Nidvandvo Nityasatvosto Nirjoga Kema Atmavam. Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtai gunya bhavarjuna nirvidanvo nitya sattvasto niryoga kema atmavan. O Arjuna, the Vedas deal with the three modes of material nature. By accommodating fruitive action and liberation as an allowance and incentive for persons who are ignorant of the true objective of the Vedas. But you, Arjuna, give up duality and all pursuits for gain and preservation, stand ever in the plane of truth, and by the yoga of wisdom transcend the modes of nature. The objective of the Vedas is transcendental, without fruitive action or liberation. O Arjuna, follow the transcendental path of devotion to the Lord as taught by the Vedas. Yavanata udapane sarvata sampluto dake tavam sarveshu vedesu brahmanasya vijanata. Javanarta utapane sarvata samputodake sarveshu vedesu brahmanasya vijanata. As all the purposes served by several ponds can be better served by a large lake, similarly, the fruits of worshipping the various gods by their respective Vedic prayers are surpassed by serving me. The knower of Brahma, who thus knows the purport of the Vedas, fulfills all life's objectives. Karmanya vadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana makarma falohe turbur mate sangostva karmani. Kamanya vadikaraste mafaleshu kadachana makarma falahetubur mate sangu swakarmani. Your right is to your work, but never to the fruits. Be neither motivated by the fruit of action, nor inclined to give up action. Yogashta kuru karmani sangam chaktva dhanam jaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samadvam yoga uchyate. Yogashta kuru karmani sangam chaktva dhanam jaya siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva samadvam yoga uchyate. O Dhananjay, give up the ego that you are the doer, and be equipoised in success and failure. Thus, stand firm in the plane of yoga and do your prescribed duties. Such a state of balance is indeed known as yoga. Durena hi avaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddho sharanam anvicha kripana falohetova. Durena yevaram karma buddhi yoga dhananjaya buddho sharanam avlavicha kripana falohetova. O Dhananjay, fruitive action is far inferior to the yoga of wisdom. Those motivated by the fruits of their actions are misers. Therefore, seek refuge in the selfless wisdom of equanimity. Buddhi yukta jahati ha ubhe sukrita duskrite tasmad yogaya yujasva yoga karma sukoshalam. Buddhi yukta yahita ve ubhe sukrita duskrite tasman yogaya yujasva yoga karma sukoshalam. The wise person abstains from both good and bad actions in this world. Engage thus in yoga, as yoga is the art of all works. Karma jam buddhi yukta hi phalam chakta manishina janma bandha vinir mukta padam gacchanti anamayam. Karma jam buddhi yukta hi phalam chakta manishina janma bandha vinir mukta padam gacchanti anamaya. The wise are enlightened by giving up the fruits of their actions and thus attaining liberation from the bondage of birth. They reach the plane beyond all suffering. Yadate mohakalilam buddhir vyati tarishyasti tade tada gantasi nirvedam shrotavasya shrutasya cha. Yadati mohakalilam buddhir vyati tarishyati tada gantasi nirvedam shrotavasya shrutasya cha. When your intelligence fully emerges from the dense forest of illusion, you will be indifferent to all that has been heard or is yet to be heard. Shruti vipratipana te yadas tasyati nischala samadhav achala buddhis tadda yogam avapsyasi. Shruti vipratipana te yadas tasyati nischala samada vachala buddhis tada yogam avapasisi. You shall attain perfect yoga or pure devotion when your intelligence, undisturbed by the apparent contradictions of the Vedas, abides in the Lord. Arjuna uvacha stitta pragasya kabasa samadhi stasya keshava stitta di kim prabha seta kim ashita brajeta kim. Arjuna uvacha stita pravyasya kabasya samadhi stasya keshava stita di kim prabhaseta kim ashita brajeta kim. Arjuna said, O Keshava, what are the characteristics of a person of firmly established wisdom who is fully absorbed in consciousness of the Supreme, samadhi? How does such a man of steady mind speak, be, and act in this world? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prajahati Yada Kamam Sarvam Partha Manogatan Atmanyevatmana tushta stita pragyas tadochate Sri Bhagavan uvacha prajahati yada kamam sarvam parta manogatam Atmanyevatmana tushta stita pragyas tadochate. The Supreme Lord said, O Partha, one who rejects all desires that enter the mind and remains self-satisfied within is known as a person whose wisdom is fully established. Dukeshvanu dignamana sukeshu vigata spriha vitaraga baya krodha stita dir muni uchate. Dukeshvanu dignamana sukeshu vigata spriha vitaraga baya krodha stita dir muni uchate. One who is undisturbed by sorrow, whose hankering for pleasure has gone, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is known as a silent sage of steady mind. Ja sarvatrana bishnehastat tat prapya subho subhasubham nabinandatina dvesti tasya pragya pratistita. Ja sarvatrana bishenas tat tat prapya subhasubham nabinandatina dvesti tasya pragya pratistita. One who is not attached to anything in this world, who neither enjoys nor resents auspiciousness or inauspiciousness, his wisdom is firmly established. Yada samharate chayam kurmonaniva sarvasha indriyan indriyate bhyas tasya pragya pratistita. Yada samharate chayam kurmonaniva sarvasha indriyan indriyate bhyas tasya pragya pratistita. When one's senses are controlled and totally withdrawn from their objects, like the limbs of a tortoise withdrawn in its shell, his wisdom is firmly established. Vishaya vinivartante nirahashrasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. Vishaya vinivartante nirahashrasya dehina rasavarjam rasopyasya param drishva nivartate. The embodied being may renounce the sense objects, but the taste for them remains. But that too vanishes for the man of wisdom by his vision of the Supreme. Yatato yapikunteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramartina itini haranti prasabhammana. Yatato yapikunteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramartini haranti prasabhammanaha. And yet, O son of Kunti, the turbulent senses can forcibly plunder the mind of even the wise person striving for liberation. Tani sarvani samyamya jukta asita matpara vasehi yasyendri yani tasya pragya pratistita. Tani sarvani samyamya yukta asita matpara vasehi asindriyani tasya pragya pratistita. Devoted to me, the bhakti yogi brings his senses under proper control. Firmly established is the wisdom of one whose senses are controlled. Jayato vishayan pungsa sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodha bijayate. Jayato vishayan pungsa sangasteshu pajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodha bijayate. But one whose thoughts dwell on the objects of the senses becomes attached to them. From attachment, desire is born, and from desire, anger arises. Krodhad bhavati so moha samohat smriti vibramaha smriti brahmsad buddhina so buddhina sat pranashyati krodad bhavati samoha samohat smriti vibrama smriti brahmsad buddhina so buddhina sat pranashyati. Anger gives rise to delusion, and the power of delusion causes forgetfulness. Forgetfulness destroys the intelligence, and when the intelligence is lost, one loses all. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indrayascharan atma vashyer vidye atma prasadam abhigatsyati. Raga dvesha vimuktaistu vishayan indrayascharan atma vashe vidyatma prasadam adigacchati. But the integrated person who can control his mind at will, and who, free from attraction and repulsion, accepts his worldly necessities through his controlled senses, attains tranquility. Prasade sarvadukanam hanir osha pajayate prasanna cetaso yaso buddhir paryavatishtate prasade sarvadukanam hinirasyo pajayate prasanna cetaso yaso buddhir paryavatishtate. One who attains a peaceful heart, when one attains a peaceful heart, all his sorrows are dispelled. The tranquil person's wisdom swiftly becomes steadfast. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacho yuktasya bhavam bhavana nacha bhavayata shantir asantasya kuto sukham. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantir asantasya kuto sukham. A person bereft of self-control can have neither wisdom nor meditation. Without meditation, there is no peace. And without peace, where is the hope for happiness? Indriyanam hicharatam yanmano nuvidhiyate tadasya harati pragyam vayanavam evambasi. Indriyanam hicharatam yanmano nuvidhiyate tadasya harati prajam vayonavam imbam. As a boat on the ocean is thrown off course by an unfavorable wind, similarly the wisdom of a person lacking self-control is carried away by even one of the roaming senses that the mind might follow. Tasmadyasya mahabaho nigritani sarvashaha indriyan indriyatebhyas tasya pragya pratistita tasmadyasya mahabaho nirgitani sarvasana indriyan vindriya vetas tasya pragya pratistita. Therefore, O subduer of the energy of the enemy, one whose senses are fully withdrawn from their objects is a person of firmly established wisdom. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagarti samjami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato mune. Yanisha sarvabhutanam tasyam jagarti samjami yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato mune. That which is day for the self-controlled sage is night for all beings. And that which is day for all beings is night for the sage who sees. The living beings absorbed in mundane life are asleep to the spiritual joy of the realized soul, who remains indifferent to their quest for the pleasures of the senses, devoid of spiritual joy. Apurjamanam achala pritishtam samudramapa pravishanti jadvat tavat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kami apurnamanam samudramapa pravishanti jadvat Tadvat kama kamprabhishanti tarve shashanti mabnoti nakama kami. As the ocean remains full and unchanged, though many rivers and streams enter into it, the person of firmly established wisdom attains peace despite all desires entering him. But a person who nurtures desires cannot know peace. Vihaya kamanaja sarvam pumams charati nishpriha nirmano nirahankara sashantim adigachati. Vihaya kamanaja sarvam pumsam charati nishpriha nirmano nirahankara sashantim abhigacchati. Only a person who lives his life abandoning all desires, hankering, ego and possessiveness can know real peace. Esha brahmi stiti partha nainam prapya vimuyati stiti vashyam manta kale pi brahma nirvanam richchati. Esha brahmi stita partha nainam prapya vimuyati stiti vasa manta kale pi brahma nirvanam richchati. O Partha, this is realization of the Absolute. Attaining which a person is freed from the delusion of mundane existence. Even at the time of death, only a momentary attainment of this state leads one to the divine abode. Iti Sri Mahabharate Sakta Sahasrayam Sahityam Vaishashikam Bhishma Parvani Srimad Bhagavad Gita Shupanishatsu Brahma Vidyam Yoga Shastre Sri Krishna Arjuna Sambade Sankhya Yoga Namo Dvitiyo Jayaha. End of Chapter 2, The Constitution of the Soul, from the conversation of Sri Krishna and Arjuna in Srimad Bhagavad Gita Upanishad, the Yoga Scripture of Transcendental Knowledge, in the Bhishma Parva of Sri Mahabharata, the holy scripture revealed by Srila Vyasadeva in 100,000 verses. So this is chapter 2. Krishna's driven Arjuna between the battle, between the armies, and Arjuna seeing his kith and kin ready to do battle, he becomes overwhelmed with grief. So Krishna has asked Arjuna has asked Krishna to enlighten him as to what is his duty now at this crucial juncture. He has given many good arguments why he shouldn't engage in the battle. But Krishna has told to him, actually what Krishna wants to say to Arjuna is that you will act according to your nature anyway. Guru Maharaj said, when Krishna instructed Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, finally Arjuna's decision was to engage in the battle. But when Krishna spoke the Gita to Uddhava, that is known as Uddhava Gita in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the same teaching, but Uddhava's conclusion was to retire to the forest. Their natures were different. Arjuna was a warrior, Uddhava was a Brahmin. But his nature was the Brahmin nature. First thing, one will act according to their nature anyway. And then Krishna explains to Arjuna, yeah, all your arguments, they're all okay, very good, everything, very like a wise man you are speaking. But what you are saying actually is not real, it's not true. Because what you are dwelling on is the impermanent. So all of those kings that you see here, in front of you, all of those warriors, everyone that you see in front of you, you're only thinking of their external being. But they are all eternal souls. Never was there a time when they did not exist, nor did I, and nor did all these kings, and neither in the future will any of us cease to be. We existed in the past, we exist now, and in the future we will exist. The soul is distinct from the body, and the soul can never be killed. The soul can never be injured, can never be burned or wet or dried or anything, cannot be affected by anything of this material world. So, you shouldn't think that that the soul can kill or be killed. That is also a fallacy. But then Krishna says, but for the sake of argument, even if we say that the soul is eternally born and eternally and dies, you know, in the cycle of birth and death, always being born, always dying, and so on, then still, no need for lamentation, because whoever has taken birth, death is inevitable. It's going to happen anyway. So, forget that. And also, the pleasures and pain of this material world, they're coming anyway. So, you have to just tolerate that. And do your duty. So this is the first teaching that Krishna is giving to Arjuna. Don't think about these right and wrong, and or victory or defeat, or loss or gain, or any of these things. They're all the same, actually, in this material world. You just do your duty. But not only that, if your nature is that of a warrior, what could be better than to fight for a righteous cause? That is the perfect engagement for you. Then don't think about anything, just rise for your battle and do that. And you are a man who has been honored. You know, Arjuna is famous, already famous, as, you know, the greatest archer who ever lived. Of course, there we know that from Mahabharata, there is Ekalavya. Ekalavya maybe was even better than Arjuna. Archer. And Ekalavya came to Dronacharya and asked Drona to teach him. But when he showed his prowess, Arjun said, no, you can't teach him, because you promised that I would be the greatest archer in the world. And if you teach him, he's better than I am. So you have to say no to him. Then Drona asked him, what is your, like, family line, everything like this, you know, then it turned out Ekalavya was a Nishadha. That means outside of Varnashram. Then, like a jungle man. Then he told, no, I can't accept you as my disciple because you are Nishadha. Said, so please go. Then Ekalavya went, but he was determined. So he went to the jungle and he made a murti of Dronacharya, and every day he would worship that murti and practice the martial arts and archery and everything in front of the murti. And through that worship, he gained even greater prowess. Then one day when Arjun and all the Pandavas and Kauravas, they're going with Dronacharya through the jungle, a hunting expedition. Then the dogs are in front, and dogs are going and barking, going in the front, and then suddenly the dogs are silent. And, oh, what happened? Something happened to the dogs. So then the dogs come running back, and all of those dogs, their mouths had been sealed by arrows. Not harmed, they were not harmed or killed, but their mouths had been sealed with arrows. And when Arjun saw that, like, who did that? I can't do that. You know, my archery is pretty good, but I could never do anything like that. And then suddenly Ekalavya came there and bowed down to Dronacharya, or you are my guru. And Arjun said, you did this? He said, yes, I did. And then Dronacharya can see Arjun like becoming upset. Then he told You have accepted me as your guru, then you must give guru dakshin. It means like payment for what you have been taught. Yes, master, what do you require? I require the thumb of your right hand. And without a second thought, Ekalavya took a blade and cut off his thumb. It's pretty difficult to fire a bow without a thumb, if you've ever tried. It's pretty difficult to fire a bow anyway, but without a thumb, almost impossible. But without a second thought, he did, and he put his thumb at the feet of Dronacharya. He was still a great archer, but he could never be that great anymore. Without his thumb, he could never be that great anymore. Anyhow, so Arjun was famous, and especially after the battle with Dronacharya, when he grew up, he was bosom friends with Draupada. They went to school together, and Draupada is a Kshatriya, and Drona a Brahmin. Then Draupada, when after they grew up and everything, Draupada became a great king with big kingdom, everything. And Dronacharya, very poor, a Brahmin, so very poor. And he was so poor that he couldn't even afford to give milk to his son. And the other kids at school, they got chalk and they ground it up with water and they gave it to Dronacharya's son and said, "Have some milk." And he took that and "Oh, today, Daddy, I had milk." But it was just chalk water. And so Dronacharya felt so ashamed that he had nothing to give to his son. And when they were at school together, they were such close friends that Draupada said, "When I become the king, I'll give half of my kingdom to you," he told as a boy. So then Dronacharya said, after discussing with his wife, "I'll go and see my old friend, Draupada. He'll help us act. When we were kids, he promised me half his kingdom." So off he went, and he came to Draupada's kingdom. Draupada received him, everything, and said, "You remember when we were boys and you offered to give me half my kingdom? I don't want that, but, you could help me out, I can't even afford it." But Draupada had changed, become very proud and everything, and he told, "Oh, that was just foolish talk of a boy. You cannot take it seriously, be gone from here." Then Dronacharya became very angry, and he told him, "One day I will show you what is the meaning of friendship." And they went their separate ways. But when the Pandavas and the Kauravas finished their teaching, getting their instruction from Dronacharya, then Dronacharya said, "Now is time for you to give Guru Dakshin, to give your payment for what you have learned." Then he said, "This is what I require of you. I require that you will attack the kingdom of Draupada and capture his kingdom and bring him back to me, bound and tied and bound, as your prisoner." So that's exactly what they did. They invaded Draupada's kingdom, and big battle. There was just 105. 100 sons of Gandhari and 5 sons of Pandu. They attacked. And they were all brilliant, because their teacher was Dronacharya. But most brilliant was Arjun. And Arjun, in the battle, he leapt from his chariot and mounted the chariot of Draupada and captured him. Draupada was a Maharathi also. He was a great warrior. But then Draupada was so amazed at how brilliant Arjun was that then he took Draupada in front of Dronacharya, and Dronacharya said, now I have taken your kingdom, but I promised you that I would show you the real meaning of friendship, because as a boy you promised me half of your kingdom. Now I give you half your kingdom, half my kingdom to you." So, this way. Anyway, there was some than Dronacharya, because he's a Brahmin, then he's like, that's it, all forgotten now, you know, in the past, we won't think about that again. But Draupada could not forget. And so his priests, they made a big great fire sacrifice, and from that fire, two people were born from that fire, fully grown, a man and a woman. And the man's name was Dristajumna. I love that name. It means the fireborn, Dristajumna. And the sole purpose of his birth was to kill Dronacharya. That's why he was born from the fire. And the other was Draupadi. And his reason for Draupadi was that he would give her hand in marriage to Arjuna, because he was so impressed with how valiant and brilliant Arjuna was. So this is Arjuna, so famous, and a son of Indra, fought in the heaven against the Asura. And then so much fame, Indra, Arjuna, so much fame, that finally, so now Krishna is saying to him, if you don't fight, then your enemies will mock you. They'll say you're a coward. And for one who's been honored, like you have been honored, that infamy, that is worse than death. Once you've been honored, we see that today, that the media, they love to do that, right? They love to build somebody up. They make somebody as their hero, and they build them up, and they give all, you know, news about them, photographs, everything. And then, first opportunity, they smash them down, don't they? They try and find all the gossip and all the scandal and then bring them down. They put them up there, then they bring them down. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
So Krishna is telling Arjuna, you have been honored above all men, and now, if they will say you are a coward and too scared to fight, then that infamy will be worse than death for you. So, then, from that, then Krishna goes on to explain, in essence, what the meaning of the Gita is. That's why Prabhupada, although the chapter is called Sankhya Yoga, or the constitution of the soul, but Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, he called it, his English translation for this chapter, the contents of the Gita summarized. Because in this chapter, you can say Krishna gives beginning to end in a summary, what is the teaching of the Gita in this chapter. That first is telling, do your duty, selflessly do your duty. Then he tells, you have the right to do your work according to your nature. You have a particular duty and work that you should do. You must do that work. But the fruits of that work, they don't belong to you, and they're not yours. They're mine. So this is a very important teaching of Bhagavad Gita. It is essential for us to understand this. Because this idea of I and mine is illusion. It's to think that I am the doer. It is a misconception. We are not the doer. Everything is already being done by the material nature. And we are just instrumental in that. But we consider ourselves as the doer because we identify with our actions. But our actions actually should only be according to our duty, our swadharma. Do your duty. But the fruit of that belongs to me, Krishna says. So whatever you do, you must do that for my sake, not for your own sake. And as much as you can embrace this idea that everything is meant for his satisfaction, that much you'll be liberated from the world. So this is called Nishkama Karma Yoga.
Selfless.
Nishkama means without desire. Karma means desire, selfish desire. So, to be free of karma, nishkarma, karma yoga. And when it's nishkarma karma yoga, it actually becomes bhakti yoga in its primary stage. So then he explains karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. That according to one's consciousness, they progress from one to the other. And finally, when it is free from all, when it is beyond action and beyond knowledge, then it becomes bhakti. So, then, and then Krishna says, this is the meaning of the Gita, the Veda. This is the purpose and the meaning of the Veda, is to teach this, the transcendental truth. So, but materialistic minded people, when they read the Veda, they like to make much of the Karma Kanda section of the Veda, and they extol the fruits that are given in there. And so much of Veda is Karma Kanda. That means you do this kind of sacrifice, rain will come. You do this kind of sacrifice, this will happen. This kind of, now all these kind of things. So, it says those who are less intelligent, they extol the virtues of these things. The flowery words of the Vedas. Yeah. So, but actually the meaning of the Vedas is to know me. This is the meaning and purpose of the Vedas, to know me. Said, so you, Arjun, you should rise above the karmakanda idea, that which is based on selfish desire and its attainment of the fruits that are offered in the karmakanda part of the Veda, and devote yourself resolutely to my service, with resolute determination, Krishna says, and this is real yoga. So then Arjun says, then who has attained that state? What are their characteristics? What do they do? What do they say? And how do they move in this world? Then Krishna explains those things to Arjun. And he says that those who control their self, who are able to control their senses, to withdraw themselves from the objects of the senses, or in other words, not to be overcome by the fleeting desires for the transient things of this material world. So many desires always coming into our consciousness through the mind. This thing through the senses are the instruments by which we perceive the world. And the senses, they are always searching for fulfillment. The eye wants to see something beautiful. The nose wants to smell something nice. The tongue wants to taste something nice. The skin wants to touch something pleasant. Like this, the ear wants to hear some sweet thing, music or something like that. So the senses are always searching for these things. But the wise man withdraws his senses. Krishna says, like a tortoise withdraws its limbs into its shell. So, and he says that he allows those desires just to like flow over him. Doesn't grab hold of them and try to pursue them. By being the master of his senses rather than the slave of his senses, Then he gets self-control, and through self-control he gets peace. And so Krishna says, without self-control there cannot be meditation. That means to consider what is the purpose of life and what is the real necessity of life. That means to be meditative. We need to develop meditative state. But if you are always chasing after the objects of the senses, you can't have meditation. And without meditation, there cannot be peace. Because peace comes from the serenity of understanding how the world acts without being influenced by that. So, this Krishna says, this is yoga. This is yoga. So, And when one is able to control his senses, then his wisdom becomes established. That is called tasya pragya, or sthiti pragya. That means one who is situated in Brahma Nirvana. That means situated in the soul, in the state of the soul. So this is you say the primary stage of self-realization. It is a necessary step for us to try to practice these teachings. Although, you know, Krishna says, although one may withdraw his self from the sense objects, still the desire for those things remains. But if one is resolute and steadfast, that will disappear. That is, when you have a taste for something higher, then the lower things disappear. But without that, it is not possible. Because we're always being bombarded with things of this world. Try me, try me, try me, buy me, you know? You'll get some satisfaction never if you ending. Have this.
Never ending.
Switch on the television and a million things. That you must have this, you must have that, you know? On the adverts, you'll see, you'll be bombarded with things that you must have, you must... But not just the adverts, the shows themselves. Now, they're very clever, you see, because they sponsor the show, right? So, you know, the show is sponsored by Audi. So all the people in the show, all the heroes of the show, they all drive Audis, you know? So you want to be like that guy, so you want to buy an Audi too. Now, this is how it goes all the time. You need this, you need this, you need this. Subliminal persuasion. Sometimes it's straightforward and gross, but sometimes it's subliminal. But all the time, we're being bombarded with images and ideas of how we should be and what we should be in this material world, what we should aspire for. You know, the advertising company now, they realize that they don't need to sell a product, they have to sell a lifestyle. So that, you know, if you're one of the cool people, then you'll have an Apple Watch. Because that's what cool people have, right? And, you know, if you want to be, like, fit and healthy and everything, you've got to have one of those. You know, people were fit and healthy before they ever appeared. But now you can't be fit and healthy unless you've got one of these monitoring your, you know, your heart rate and all of these things. What can we do? This is the material world. But if we can connect with a higher reality, then these things become unimportant to us. So therefore you have to cultivate the spirit. You have to cultivate the desire for something greater than what this world has to offer us. Because what the world has to offer us ultimately is maya, illusion. Because it has no, Krishna says this already, we read, that which is asat, it has no endurance. So that means this material body and everything related to it, it's gonna be here today and gone tomorrow. But the soul and everything related to the soul, that is sat, that is eternal and ever-existing. So we have to try to connect with that plane. When you connect with that plane properly and live your life according to that, then step by step, gradually or maybe quickly, depending on your, you know, it's not the same for everybody, but the lower things that we're addicted to in this world, they'll become less and less significant to us. And the things that we're attached to in this world, they'll also become less and less important to us. And this is the proper way that we should approach the world. We should not try to artificially renounce anything. But rather we should try to use everything in the service of the Lord. And when we can utilize everything in the Lord's service, then the very thing and the very same thing that bound us to this world will actually be the instrument of our liberation from this world. Because it's not the activity itself, but the consciousness behind it. So therefore Krishna says, for the introspective sage, what is daytime to him is like night to all other living beings. They can't understand the spiritual bliss with which he experiences. It's completely foreign to them, like day and night. And similarly to him, who's established in the spiritual reality, the things which the masses aspire for is completely incomprehensible to him. It has no attraction for him and no allure for him at all. It's like nighttime to him. But to attain that state, we will have to persevere. And that means by utilizing everything that we have in the service of the Lord. Actually, that's the only difference between material and spiritual. It's not that we can say, you know, well, that's material because it's made of glass or steel or stone or something, and, you know, the transcendental world is made of Chintamani or something like that. That is also true. But actually, everything is part of the Lord's creation. It is all part of his energy. There's nothing that isn't part of his energy. So when that is used for something other than Krishna, then it's material. But that very same thing, when it is used for Krishna, then it becomes spiritual automatically. And similarly, our own consciousness can be transformed if we try to dedicate everything that we do and everything that we have in the service of the Lord. We may not be able to do that immediately, but step by step by step, gradually, at least we will turn our face towards him. We'll turn our face towards him and we will try, whatever comes in front of us, we will try to utilize that in the service of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Then everything will be perfectly done. Guru Maharaj said, when everything is done with the desire for perfection, then everything will be perfectly done. And real perfection means in connection with Krishna. When anything which is connected with Krishna becomes perfect. Prabhupada Srilayasi Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, he always used to say, everything in this world is zero. So, because everything finishes. So, whether you've got a billion zeros or just 10 zeros, it's still zero. Zero times zero is zero. Zero minus zero is zero. Zero plus zero is zero. It always comes to zero. So if you've got a check with a million zeros on there, it's worthless, isn't it? But as soon as you put a one in front of those zeros, then unlimitedly valuable. So Prabhupada used to say, then Krishna is the one. If we put him first, if we make him the center of our life, then everything we do will be unlimitedly valuable because it has its connection with him. When anything is connected with him, then it becomes valuable. Anything which isn't connected with him is of no value. Of course, in one sense, everything is connected with him, but it is a matter of utilization. So when we utilize everything in the service of the Lord, for the pleasure of the Lord, then everything becomes perfect. And our life also becomes perfect. So this is the teaching of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And later these subjects will be discussed more fully. But today we have heard the second chapter. And it's very sweet, actually, very sweet chapter. Krishna consoling his friend and encouraging his friend so nicely. Jai Shri Krishna Arjuna ki jai, Jai Shri Bhagavad Gita Upanishad ki jai.